The first reading is from John chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The second reading is from Acts chapter 17, starting at verse 16. No, sorry, it was changed. Starting on at verse 22. Apologies. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very things you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others.
How can Jesus be the only way to God? There are so many ways in our world to God. There are 10,000 different religions. There are so many billions of sincere people following those religions. How could anyone be so arrogant as to claim that they know the truth or that they speak for God? This is a real question for each one of us, and a real question for many of the people that we know, and a real question since Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's a real question for Jesus. But firstly, maybe the question doesn't matter. Firstly, people say we don't need a way to God, but actually everyone is searching for God. Our real question today assumes that we need a way to God, but many people disagree. Many people say there is no God. 40% of Australians now say that they adhere to no religion. Many people are just seeking the good life. But actually, throughout history, people have been searching for God. We read about it this morning in first century Athens. When Paul went there in verse 16, the city was full of idols. He says to them in verse 22, "I see that you're very religious. I walked around. You had so many idols. I even found an altar that said to an unknown God." I was at a museum at Sydney University last week. There was an artifact, a vase there, that was dedicated to a god. The vase was 10,000 years old. In Northwest Australia, there are rock art paintings, the oldest that we've found, religious artwork in the world. They are 30,000 years old. Man has always been searching for God. Today, in the West, with 40% saying they have no religion, the number of atheists is actually much smaller. And even those who say they are atheists, when you ask them, "Do you believe in a supreme being behind the universe?" half of them say yes, which I wouldn't have thought meant you could be an atheist. Most of them have a spirituality, they say. Even in communist China, which is officially atheist, it's the experiment, the biggest banning of belief in God of all time. The Pew Research Center found that 90% said people have no religion, 90% of people, but only 25% say they are atheists. 40% believe in some sort of God, and 25% still burn incense to worship those gods. 50% believe in feng shui. And as many of you have found, as we've found here at our church, as people have moved to the area, many people from atheist China have a spiritual hunger. The reality is, I think, that everyone is searching for God. Why is that? Well, the critics of religion say that religion is a crutch. We want to deal with death. We need some hope. That's why we're religious. But not all religions give hope after death. For many centuries of Judaism, there was no hope of life after death. Others, critical of religion, say it's just a big stick to enforce morality. But if you know anything about the Greek and Roman gods, there's nothing moral about them. Why are we so religious? Why are we searching for God? Well, here's the Bible's explanation, verse 26. "From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." In his book, Born Believers, Justin Barrett uses psychology and the evidence of anthropology to show that children up to the age of 5 naturally believe there is a creator without being told by their parents, and they keep believing that until they are told otherwise. We search for God not because we need hope or social control. It's because God made us that way. He made people of all nations to search for him. People might say we don't need a way to God, but actually everyone is searching because that's what God made us for. So if you're here at church this morning because you're searching for God, well done for admitting it, even in today's world. You've worked it out. God has placed you here now in this country, here this morning, so that you could seek him. He is not far from any one of us. And as you will see, he has revealed himself. This truth that all people are searching for God, I find really helpful as I think about my friends and my neighbours who seem content in seemingly ignoring God, it's a reminder that actually, deep down, people are searching. And so we shouldn't be put off by people saying that there's no God, or they have no religion, or simply seeking the good life. We all need a way. And God wants everyone to find him. The real question is not, do we need a way to God? We do. The question is, has God given a way? Well, secondly, many people say there are many ways to God, but actually there can only be no way or one way. There are 2 billion Muslims in the world, 1 billion Hindus, 500 million Buddhists. More importantly, we all have people we know and love who follow other ways to God. So it's no wonder, is it, that we all deep down, I think, we want there to be many ways to God. We want that to be true. There's two explanations that people try to do that. The first is called universalism. That in the end, God accepts everyone. Whether you believe that there are millions of gods, as the Hindus do, whether you believe that there is no God, like most Buddhists and atheists do, whether you worship Satan, whether you care about your children or abuse your children, whether you stab people in a shopping centre and are killed without facing justice, whether you have the arrogance to say there is one way to God, whether you are enlightened enough to say there are many ways, people say it doesn't matter, that God accepts everyone. Is that true? If so, God is far more accepting than we are. Because I haven't met anyone like that. I take it personally, a little personally, when you get my name wrong. If you said I didn't exist, I would take that very personally. I actually care how you treat other people. If you abuse your children, I care immensely. And I want there to be justice for senseless murderers. Do you? Universalism says that the way that you treat God and the way that you treat people doesn't matter, but it does. We want someone to judge the world with justice, as Paul says in verse 31. If universalism is not right, many people believe in what's called pluralism. It's not just that God accepts anyone, it's that there are many ways to him, they say. Religions, they might have superficial differences, like their names, the buildings they meet in, the rituals they conduct, but deep down, they are really just the same. They're all about spirituality and doing unto others as you'd have them do to you. Pluralism says that all religions have part of the truth. Religion is like blind people encountering an elephant. Can you imagine this? One of the blind people grabs hold of the trunk and says, I know, it's a massive snake. The other grabs a leg and says, it's a tree. Yet another grabs the tail and says, it's a rope. Pluralism says they are all right, just partly right. Religions all have parts of the truth and somehow think they have all the truth, says pluralism. But when you look more closely, when you think about what the religions believe, their basic beliefs, you find that they actually contradict. They can't just have parts of the truth. Let me give you a couple of examples. A simple question: how many gods are there? Hindus? Millions. Christians? One. The Buddha? Zero. You don't have to be good at maths to know that they contradict. What happens when you die? An important question. The Buddha tells you you'll be reborn again and again until you reach enlightenment. Jesus says you die once and then face judgment. Imagine for a moment we brought the people from all the 10,000 religions of the world and we gathered them together in a building and we decided to say a creed. And we agreed beforehand what the creed would say, the words that we would all agree upon. I think it would say this: we believe. Full stop. Because there wouldn't be agreement after that. You say, well, it doesn't matter really what they believe, it's what you do. It's all about doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Well, in the religion of Baal, you sacrifice your children to the gods. Some Muslims stone women for being raped. They're different. We want there to be many ways to God, for them all to be true, or at least partly true. Religion seems like blind people feeling an elephant. They can't see God clearly, and God is so much bigger than we can imagine. But they can't all be true. They can't even each have part of the truth because they contradict each other. And importantly, pluralism sounds humble because it says that nobody has the truth. But how do you know pluralism's true? How could you know that all religions just have parts of the truth? The only way you could know that would be if you could see. If you compared to all the people of history and all their different religions, even today, you, the pluralist, are the only one who can see the truth. It sounds humble, but it is actually dismissive of what people believe. And it is the most arrogant position. You are claiming billions of people are blind and that only you can see. Worse, I think, even than human pluralism, that whether the blind searching for God is what I call divine pluralism. I drove past the Baha'i Temple near Mona Vale yesterday. They believe that God revealed himself to different people in different ways, at different times. All these different religions, they say, come from God. This is worse than human pluralism, where it's just blind people trying to figure it out. God is not a passive elephant. Instead, he is the worst liar and deceiver of all time, telling different people different things about him and how to find their way to him. Surely God would not do that. What is the real reason there are so many different religions in the world? It's because we all search. We're all searching for God. God did this so that we would all seek him, verse 27, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And though there are many people in every religion who are sincere, and each religion may well offer insights and elements that are beautiful, in every human religion we distort what God is like. We get God wrong, like the idol worshippers of Athens. And so verse 31, the Bible says that they are not ways to God, but ways to God's judgment. Deep down, we all wish it was different. We all, I think, want to be able to say there are many ways to God, but there is either no way to God because he hasn't given one, or there could be one way to God because he has. What do you think? Can you see that universalism can't be true? That pluralism cannot be true? That they don't fit the facts? That they are in fact arrogant and dismissive, or saying that God is a liar? How would you respond when someone says to you, all religions are really the same, aren't they? Or no one can claim their religion is right after all? Or what matters is sincerity, isn't it? Or when it comes to religion, you do you. What would you say? Well, if we need a way to God, if there can't logically be many ways to God, perhaps there is no way. That's a possibility, isn't it? Lastly, Jesus is the way to God. God placed us to live in different places at different times so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. The good news of the Bible is that it's not just that God has placed us in different places so that we would seek him, that we would see in the world around us that there is a God and search for him. He has revealed himself. He's given a way to him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. We need a way. There cannot be many ways, and Jesus says very clearly, I am the way. Why, you want to ask? How can he back up such a claim? What has he got to convince us? He says two things. Firstly, that only he knows God. Religion actually is like blind people trying to investigate an elephant. I think that's true. Worse than that, how would they find an elephant in a place the size of the universe? Especially when God not only can't be seen, but you can't feel him. What hope would we have? There is no way to God unless God himself personally reveals himself. The Bible says that. John 1, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. If you really know me, says Jesus, you will know my Father as well. I'm the way to God because I alone know God. Secondly, Jesus says, I'm the way to God because I alone have made a way to God. God will not just accept everyone, as universalism says. In fact, without his help, he will not accept anyone. Whether we've made a physical idol, or we just make up a God that we want, who accepts everyone, or who gives many ways that contradict each other, he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. And the good news is that on the day that he gave proof of that, the resurrection of Jesus, verse 31, also he was providing the way. Do you remember Good Friday? The curtain was torn in two to pay for the way that we had treated God and other people. Easter Sunday, he'd risen from the dead, guaranteeing our resurrection if we believe in him. We're going to remember and celebrate it this morning in the Lord's Supper. He has made a way for us to God. Some people say you don't need a way to God, but actually everyone is searching, if we're honest. So it's a real question. How then can Jesus be the only way? We'd like to say there are many ways to God, but actually, if you think about it, there is either no way, or God would give just one truthful way. So when we ask the question, the real question, how can we say Jesus is the only way to God? It's actually really a real question for Jesus to answer. Jesus, how can you say you are the only way to God? He says, I know God. I made a way to God. His claim is clear. His reasons are clear. The real question is, do we believe him? He's either a liar or a lunatic or the only way to God. How will you answer that question? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we admit this is a hard question for us. A hard question because we love people, we care about people, and we want to be humble. Father, we pray that you'd give us the humility to think the question through, to see the possible answers, to see the holes in the answers that people give us. And Father, we pray that you'd give us the humility to listen to what Jesus says, reflect on who he is and what he has done, and be willing to believe that he is the way that you have given to him. And we pray this in Jesus' name.